by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. How was that volume?
Good.
Good. Good. All right. Can you hear me? Can you hear? Yes. Excellent. Okay, thank you. So, we make a lot about humility, and this section in your Bible probably even has a title on it that contains the word humility. And while it is about humility, I wonder if we have the correct focus on humility. Do we sometimes think that humility is the objective? That if we can just be humble, we will have arrived? I think that humility is not the end game, but rather the beginning of the game. And the game, to use a sports analogy, is what God can do through us only once we are in the state of humility that God wants us to be in. Maybe the key thing to get from this passage is not that Jesus was completely humble, and that he was completely humble all the time with everyone, but how was he able to do that? If Jesus was completely humble simply because he was God, and God could not be anything other than completely humble by definition, then Jesus gets no marks for that. Jesus wouldn't really have done anything other than just be God. Wouldn't have done anything that would have given God the Father any reason to have said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And certainly wouldn't have done anything that we could hope to imitate. So if we're going to imitate Jesus' humility, it makes a big difference how we view this humility. Was Jesus humble because he was God? Or did his humility have nothing to do with the fact that he was God, and somehow, as a man, he was still able to be completely humble? If I choose to read these passages and believe the former, that Jesus was humble because he was God, then, in the vernacular, I'm screwed. I can't imitate that, being God. And I've been screwed pretty much my whole Christian life because this is how I believe. And I failed at imitating God. My past attempts to be humble involved trying to hide who I really was, trying not to let my true feelings and emotions show, but instead trying to come off as someone that I really wasn't, but who looked like the picture in my mind of what a humble person looked like. That is not being humble. That is trying to look humble. Here's what D.L. Moody had to say about that. A man can counterfeit love, he can counterfeit faith, he can counterfeit hope, and all of the other graces, but it is very difficult to counterfeit humility. The Bible seems pretty clear that Jesus did not live his life in the strength of his God nature, but set aside his God nature while he was on earth and limited himself to simply being a human being, and not even an exalted human being, but a servant. Philippians 2, verse 6 says, who, being in very nature God, so let there be no doubt, Jesus was and is God, did not consider equality God with God to be something to be used to his own advantage. That's the 2010 NIV wording. The 1984 NIV says, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Grasped means held on to tightly, not willing to let go. Verse 7 continues, rather, and when we see this word rather, it means not what comes right before the word rather, but instead what comes right after the word rather. So, not using his God nature to his own advantage, not grasping onto his God nature, unwilling to let go, but rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So in this section on the humility of Christ, Paul doesn't really talk, does he, about Jesus' humble actions. He doesn't mention any actions. Instead, he describes how Jesus humbled himself and what that entailed. It entailed Jesus setting aside, giving up, forsaking his God nature and taking on a human nature, which then required the same total and complete obedience and dependence on God that God requires of us in order to live in fellowship with him. So, maybe this is just me saying this. Maybe it's an incorrect interpretation of today's verses. And let's fill up our coffee cups, forget what I just said, and have some good fellowship at our table. I mean, we can do that in a few minutes. But first, let's take a look at some verses elsewhere in the Bible to see if there is any support for this idea that Jesus really did live in total obedience and dependence on the Father and the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 2, it says, Jesus, full of the Spirit, and this was just after he was baptized, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit from the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Jesus was filled by the Spirit and led by the Spirit and was tempted by Satan for 40 days. Do you ever wonder why Satan bothered to tempt Jesus at all? I think that no one knew Jesus better than Satan did. He lived in the presence of Jesus until his pride got him thrown out of heaven. He already lost the battle with Jesus. And even if Satan forgot about that loss, why did he persist in the temptation for 40 days? After a few hours, or even a day or two, wouldn't his memory have been jolted and he would have said to himself, oh yeah, I forgot. This is Jesus. I really can't prevail against him. Lost the last time. Looks like I'll lose this time. Why did he continue for 40 days? I think it was because Satan knew that Jesus had forsaken his God nature, had laid aside his divinity while he was here on earth. I don't know for sure how Satan would have known that, but it could have just been that he knew it because it is kind of apparent from reading the Old Testament. So Satan knew that things were different this time with Jesus, knew that Jesus was playing by human rules, Satan knew that he had prevailed against humans before, Adam, Eve, countless others throughout the ages, and he thought he had a chance. But Jesus, the human, was filled with the Spirit, and Satan did not prevail because he cannot prevail when we are filled with the Spirit. In Luke, more verses here, Luke chapter 10, verse 21, it says, at that time, full of joy through the Spirit. In John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus says, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. John 5:19, and this comes in response to the questioning of Jesus right after he healed the paralytic at the pool. Jesus gave them this answer. It says, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. That's how the NIV puts it. In the ESV it says, can do nothing of his own accord. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. So, a miracle happens. Jesus is there when it happens. We know that Jesus is God. And we say that Jesus was able to heal the cripple because Jesus is God. But that is not what Jesus says. He says he can do nothing by himself, but only what his Father does. Now, Jesus isn't just making this up like we would do. He's not just saying it because it sounds good. That's what we would do. He's saying it because it's true. He can do nothing by himself. John 5:43 says, I have come in my Father's name. John 8:28-29 says, so Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. In John 10:31-32, says, again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus said to them, I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? John 12:49-50 says, for I do not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. John 14:8-9 says, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. All this means that the good works that Jesus did, the resisting of temptation, the miracles that were performed, and yes, the humility that was expressed by Jesus' life, were not done in his own strength, but were done in his relationship with the Father. And Jesus says that over and over again. They were the Father's works, done by the Father through Jesus. This is the same as for the rest of us who are in Christ, living in or by the Holy Spirit. We know we take no credit for what we do, and that it's all done by Christ through us. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Galatians 3:20. So, this is how Jesus was able to do what he did, by constantly remaining in the Father, being completely obedient to the will of the Father, having, in essence, no thought of what to do in any situation that did not originate from the Father. This is the life we are supposed to live. This is, as I said in my last talk, the normal Christian life. This is the life that Jesus modeled and lived. No dependence on himself, complete dependence on the Father. And so, because Jesus was continually in the Father, was continually led by the Spirit, he did not have to work at being humble. He did not have to try to do humble acts. He did not have to cheat and call on his own divinity to carry the day. He rested in the Father all the time, and the Father lived out his life in the life of Jesus. And how could it be any other way? How could Jesus ask us to do what he himself was not willing to do? How could Jesus expect us to lean not on our own understanding and to lay down our lives and live by the Spirit if he himself were not willing to live by the Spirit, to live in the Father, to submit every aspect of his will to that of his Father? Not my will, but thy will be done. And that is how we let the humility of Christ show through our life. So, God knew we were going to have technical difficulties this morning. He gave me this short talk. I knew that if we started a quarter after, I'd be done. So praise God for that. He also gave me a voice. On the table in the van, as you're leaving, I'm going to put copies of some quotes on humility. I found this website called Christian Quotes. And you can put in, and I've got it at the top of the page, you can put any topic that you want or select from their list of just hundreds of topics. And they have all the authors there, too, if you want to know who said it, and click and say, okay, what did G.K. Chesterton say about humility? You can find it. So I put two sides of a page of quotes on humility by different people, Andrew Murray, Watchman Nee, Thomas A. Kempis, Ludwig von Beethoven.
All right.
There's a Beethoven.
Oh, yes, come on, you know that.
Here's what Beethoven had to say about humility, and man, was he right on. He said, nothing is more intolerable than to have to admit to yourself your own errors. So, anyway, these will be in the back, and enjoy your discussion at the tables. If you don't like the three questions I wrote, talk about some other. I'm going to